Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're waiting on Michael McHenry. We've got a few other things we can definitely get into. One thing that has become very clear to me, if you watched all this coverage so far of the summer leagues in the NBA, it really feels like all of the national media types, all of the media types that cover the NBA, all of the people that, you know, the ESPN types, they are all going to do their best to make sure that we all know that the Bronny James is legitimately, you know, an NFL prospect or an NFL player. I'm sorry, NFL, NBA prospect or an NBA player. I mean, the coverage of this guy has been absurd. I don't even know who the first 10 picks of the draft are, because you never hear about them. All we hear about is Bronny James had, what, he have 6 points or something the other day? And it's going to be very interesting to see if at some point we hear basically a backlash of some sort. That basically there are other players who started to feel like, okay, this guy was the 55th pick in the draft. He's a guy who really hasn't accomplished hardly anything. He's a guy who's 100% here because of his dad's name. I mean, that's the other thing that really bothers me the most about the story. I would be okay if people would just say, yeah, it's absolutely right. His dad is why he's here. But there are people that are trying to convince me and everybody else that, oh, no, he's here on merit. You know, no, he's not. Anyway, we can go to the hotline right now. The fan hotline is brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We'll go to that hotline, talk to our good friend. From Sportsnet and from other broadcasts, the one and only Michael McHenry. Michael, how you doing today, sir?
Well, yourself?
I can't complain, although I'm not doing as well as Joe, who is on vacation, which seems to be a theme over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Other than that, and I'm here working, but other than that, I'm doing good. Michael, we can start right here. Could you play for the Pirates? I don't even know what it's called. It was Miller Park. What is it called now? I don't even know what the stadium is called. These stadiums changed.
Oh, it's going to be Miller Park to me, so we'll just say
yes,
that.
Yes, say Miller Park. It's been sort of a place of a little bit of a house of horrors for the Pirates over the years. I mean, what is it about the park? I mean, obviously Milwaukee's had some good teams, but even when they weren't good, and even when you guys were better than them, Milwaukee, it seemed like it was a place where it was hard for you guys to win out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of voodoo when I played there because some of the weirdest stuff ever happened. But it is a tough place to play when they're winning. And why that is because the crowd matters. It's like an airplane hangar when they shut it all. I tell you what, it gets so loud, and you can feel it. It almost feels like it's on top of you. So that's one. Two, they have weird game times. They always have. Now MLB in general has weird game times. If you haven't played there much, they'll open up the surroundings around the stadium, and it creates the worst shadows. So it's very hard to hit there if you haven't been there consistently in some of those weird game times. And two, it's also a great place to hit at. So things can change really, really fast, and they build their teams based on their stadium. So every time you walk in there, they're going to have speed, because it plays really fast, and they're going to have some power. So it makes it very tough sometimes go in there if you haven't been there before, especially like rookies and stuff, to be used to the stadium. It excites you when you hit BP. You sometimes try to do too much. There's a lot that goes into it. every stadium has their good, their bad, but every home team should take advantage of it. They probably do as good as anybody.
Isn't Milwaukee the one place, isn't that the place too where there's a haunted hotel or something that you guys stay at?
Oh yeah, the Pfister. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a haunted hotel. Yeah. Yeah, there's two different sides. There's a new side and an old side. The old side is haunted. So I've heard tons of stories. You hear people walking up and down the hallway and nobody's there. You know, chairs on tables, and when you get back from the game, just different things. Yeah, I mean, honestly, you should just make friends with them. Maybe it'll make it, you know, easier in Milwaukee for us.
Yeah, well, there's that, of course, yes. I think, I don't know if you were playing in this game or not, but I was at a game when you guys, and I was covering a game in Milwaukee when you guys actually lost the game because it was a called, it was a swinging third strike to end the game, but it got past the catcher. It was a weird bounce or something. It got past the catcher. The guy got the first, and the next guy hit a walk-off. I don't know, maybe it was a walk-off hit. I don't even know if it was a walk-off home run. But, like, basically, that when you talk about weird things happening, I mean, you lost a game in which the third strike, the guy swung at the third strike, the game should have been over. But, and it wasn't like, I think it was, I don't think it was like an error on the catcher or whatever. It was just a weird way the pitch, you know, bounced or whatever, that it got past the catcher.
Actually, that was my game. I'll never forget it. I didn't lose any other games, I think, of my entire career on anything like that. Hanrahan was pitching, and it hit something, and I tried to grab it with my bare hand. Actually, really hurt my hand. but, yeah, it was one of those things, like, you're right. Like, there's another instance where Hanrahan's pitching, and, I mean, I could tell you on the – my entire career, there's one time I threw a pitch and I thought there's no way if we execute this, this guy could hit it. It was pitched to Ryan Braun, threw it at his face, and probably 6 inches towards the plate. The guy hit it off the middle of the wall in right center. That it made no sense. And that's when, you know, we started talking about, is he cheating? Are they sharing signs and all this stuff? Because you have to speculate when he has never thrown him inside in his entire life, except, like, back him up. Somehow he hits that ball.
Yeah.
So, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's just a lot of weird things that have happened out there. But I remember that game. I was covering the game when in Milwaukee when the game was basically over, and it was just a weird bounce and just a bad luck and an unfortunate, you know, circumstances that led to a loss. But that's happen in Milwaukee. Michael, we had seven games here in Pittsburgh against. Seven games against teams that the Pirates were trailing, and they went 3-4, and really in three of the games, you know, they had opportunities to win. Do you kind of look at this stretch and look at it as really like a pretty big missed opportunity for Pirates to make some move?
You know, I've been asked that question a lot, and you know, I think you can look at it two ways. Yeah, like we should have won some series, and you could say it all year long. The one thing we've, knock on wood, one thing we haven't done is fallen off a cliff. We also haven't had a run. So we played really good to start the season, but we haven't had a run like we did last year. We had two different times where we rattled off 10-plus games in a row. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen. If it doesn't, really makes no sense, because you saw on that first night against the Mets, I mean, when our bats go, they go. They did it again on the last game. They are going to have a stretch where that happens for 2 weeks. These guys just flat out hit, because all the trends are telling you this is going to happen. Jack Swinski's looking better. You know, Cruz, both those guys made great adjustments. Connor Joe's going to get really, really hot again, just like he always does. If Brian Reynolds stays consistent, we're at an incredible place. Rowdy, he's going to fall down a little bit. If he can just stay the course here too, starting to see what we wanted to see for a long time offensively. And I think we're going to continue to move forward. It's just tough with the pitching, some guys getting hurt, but that gives more opportunities. We're a good team. It's going to rattle off 10 games at some point. Don't know when it's going to be. That may push us over the edge to where some of these games kind of be washed.
Well, I think one of the things that people have been talking about for 2 or 3 weeks, Michael, has been the trade deadline. And what's interesting is it almost is right now to the point where you're not sure whether or not they're going to be buyers or sellers because, you know, like you said, an 8 or 9 game winning streak probably puts them in a position where they're definitely going to go have to go out and buy because they'll be in position to make the playoffs. 7, 8 game stretch where they don't play so well, maybe the opposite is true. I mean, this is something that probably we're going to have to watch for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I think the reality of it is, I think it's depending on who you talk to for buyers and sellers, in the sense that even if we're in a playoff position, we could still be sellers by someone's opinion, but we actually, you know, got better. It's just the way you look at it. I mean, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Arizona, some of these smaller market teams have been playing chess with the way that they do, you know, trades and different things. Ben Sherrington's done an incredible job with the draft. He's really gotten some great players at the lower minor leagues. How they develop through the minor leagues is always, you know, what you're looking at. And then I think we could see a lot of different things. You know, you could see big league guys get traded for high minor league guys. You could see a lot of different things if it makes the team better now and in the future, and especially in the next couple of years. Don't be surprised if some weird things happen, but it's got to make the team better. It's going to be interesting kind of how this all unfolds because this is the first year. This kind of can set this entire regime apart from the Neil Huntington era.
Well, there's no question they have that going for them when it comes to some assets to trade. You look at where they're at with their pitching staff, Mike. They've got a number of guys that are hurt. Whether it's, you know, a couple of relievers, whether it's a couple of starters. I mean, the challenge now is to try and get through these next 2 or 3 weeks, right, and piece it together until you get your full arsenal back.
Yeah, and I think Bednar is right around the corner. Borecki's right around the corner. Stratton's right around the corner. I mean, that's three upgrades immediately in our bullpen. Gonzo is going to be back, I would assume, in the second half. They could push him. The fact that he threw 3 innings the other day, he could say, I'm good, and come up and throw 5 because he's got 10-5 rights. There's a lot of things that are going to happen. I love what Ashcraft's doing. Bubba Chandler's absolutely dominating Double-A. So we have the depth we haven't had in the last couple of years. You know, you remember last year, August, September, we had 2 starters. We were throwing other things out there. And then also, every time you have someone get hurt, you know, me and Brault talk about this consistently because most of the time your opportunity comes. My opportunity came. The biggest opportunity came in Pittsburgh. You know, a bunch of catchers got hurt, and they traded for me, and I stuck here for 3 years. Same thing with Brault. You know, and that's kind of how the game works. You got to take advantage of it, and if these guys do, all it does is either make our team better, give us more opportunity, more assets to make our team better, and that's got to be great for the city and the organization.
Yeah, it's interesting. A couple things that happened over the weekend, Michael, I wanted to get your opinion on. Michael A. Taylor had a couple of opportunities to bunt. Couldn't get one down, and then they actually called for him to bunt even on, you know, with 2 strikes, and both times he failed to get the bunt down even. And so, you know, it was a strikeout bunting. You know, is bunting a lost art in Major League Baseball? Number one, and number two, what sort of kind of message are you sending when you allow a guy to bunt with 2 strikes rather than swing away?
So bunting isn't and shouldn't be a lost art. Remember, these guys can swing and hit a ball. So should be able to set it and forget it. I was Michael Taylor. If you go back and look at those bunt attempts, you got to ask, how often does he bunt? How often do they practice bunting? High velocity, especially the velocity that comes into you, because if I'm catching, the guy bunts, I'm moving my glove towards his face. I want that ball high and tight, make him react to it and not pull his bat back. That's either going to create a pop-up, I'm trying to bunt a bad ball, and then I'm going to go below the zone, move his eyes, and try to get him to tip the barrel, just like they've done to Michael Taylor. So if you're not practicing like that, which is not evident in the last 10 years, really, a game, it's very hard to do it randomly every couple weeks. So I can't speak on often Michael Taylor bunts. I have all the machines, everything. I know that guy works his tail off. I know he can bunt. Sometimes it's just human error. It is very difficult to do if you don't practice it, the confidence isn't there, and you've got guys throwing 99 miles an hour running into your face. It's one of those things, like, if you're not seeing 99 running into your face every now and then, with your face right next to the barrel, you're probably going to pull back and pop it up or not have it. And then with two strikes, I always thought that was one of those things where, like, you either swing because you're mad or bunt because you're mad, because everybody wants to get it down. So it's one of those things that, like, you got to make that choice. Obviously, whoever made that choice, whether it's Michael Taylor or the team, made that choice and just didn't work out in our favor. So I've seen a lot of times where guys hit a homer. I think Michael Taylor did it earlier this year, hit a double off the wall after missing two bunts.
You have Andy Rodriguez coming back next year. You have Henry Davis, who's in the AAA, who's hurt. And you have Joey Bart, who's actually been pretty pretty consistently decent for the Pirates in terms of your three catching options for the future. I mean, do you view Joey Bart as somebody who could be in the mix over the next few years? I mean, it feels like he's a big upgrade over the other guys that they have right now.
Andy's got the best numbers ever compared to those guys in the minor leagues. I mean, we got to remember back to 2022. It was Buster Posey, played other positions. And then organization put Henry out and right and put him behind the plate. Didn't work out the way they wanted it to. Now it's all kind of all over the place. Best defensive guy outside of maybe actual throwing guys out. It's Henry Davis. By analytics, you look back to Indy last year, Henry Davis is better. You look at Bart, Henry Davis is better. I'm talking about receiving, blocking, and throwing. Bart just threw out some guys that kind of put him up. They're kind of the same when it comes to arm strength. All of them, Indy's faster throwing. You kind of look at these three guys, right? I think about Atlanta. Atlanta has two starting catchers. One guy is having a great year this year. One guy's just now starting to pick up. It's kind of the thought for me is if you can have two starting guys, whichever two you pick, I do think it'll probably be a mix of all three of them if it works out absolutely perfect, and then Bart could play some first base. Indy could go back to being a floater and play some right field, some left field, some first base, some second base. That guy was an average or plus defender at multiple positions in 2022 at three different levels. He had 25 homers, 95 RBIs, 950-something OPS. This guy was a legend in the minor leagues. In 2023, he caught all year long, lost his legs, got exhausted, and, you know, at the end of the year, he figured some things out. The moves were better. He was throwing the crap out of the ball. His receiving was getting better. His game call was getting better, and then he gets hurt as soon as he goes to play winter ball. It's unfortunate, but that kid's going to grow. But these three guys are going to be around, and I think it's going to be a great opportunity. But I also don't want to forget about DeLay. DeLay's the best defensive catcher in our division, maybe even the best defensive backups in Major League Baseball. If you look at his numbers, his ERA is better than everybody else's. His receiving is better than everybody else. Now he can throw. He blocks better than everybody else. This guy is Stallings 2.0, and we just don't need to lose sight of him because he'll be one of those guys like, man, he just keeps going places, and they just keep winning. What's happening? I like that.
So you're saying that you think DeLay could actually be, I mean, he's somebody, if he would just get a little better at the plate, he could be somebody's catcher?
Well, I bet they've had more calls on DeLay than most guys in our organization right now. And I'm not talking about an everyday guy. I'm talking about a sure-handed, high IQ, good at bat backup. He does everything to where it becomes predictable for these guys. When you're a GM, predictability is incredible, right? I know this guy's probably going to go out at the end of the year, get 114 to 200 at-bats. He's going to hit maybe 250. He's going to put together long at-bats, good at-bats, see a lot of pitches. He's going to hit in high-stress situations. More importantly, all he cares about is my staff. Every single year he's touched the diamond, he's gotten better in the major leagues. Can't say that about many people.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, it sounds to me like you think the catching situation is better than probably most people from the outside looking in think.
We have a chance to have the best catching Major League Baseball, if not National League, next year. It's Indy Rodriguez and Henry Davis and Joey Bart. You're talking about if we had a draft, right, in the major leagues, and they were going to draft three guys, those guys would be at the top because of their projectability, what they've shown in spurts. he's done it the longest over a minor league season. Remember, he's really young when he came up. You're also talking about guys that are controllable for a long time. So the one disadvantage is, I don't believe Bart has any options left. So he's probably a guy that's going to step out in front. Other guys have options. So there is a reality. You can keep all these guys. Play has options left, I believe, going into next year. So you could have four catchers on your roster if they're playing multiple positions and they can hit. Come on. That's an incredible asset for a team.
I asked Derek Shelton this a little bit ago when he was on. I'll ask you this. Can you remember or recall any player who has completely turned the narrative or whatever you want to call it around, like Rowdy Tellez has done, where, you know, a month and a half ago, he was getting booed out of the stadium. People were, you know, calling our shows and everything, wanting him DFA'd. He was maybe the least popular player on the team to, you know, and then he turns it around and he's hitting well and he's getting clutch hits and he's hitting home runs. And now all of a sudden he's getting curtain calls and standing ovations and people chanting his name. Can you remember? I've been around for a long, long time. I can't remember anybody with such a dramatic turnaround in such a short period of time.
Trey Turner last year, I did a segment on him. There was a podcaster / radio guy in Philadelphia, huge Philadelphia fan. He said, what if we just showed up tomorrow and we all supported Trey Turner? What if it changed the season? He went out, homer, game-winning hit, and then went 6 weeks, and I believe he hit about 400. Then they're in the playoffs. And I do think there's power and support. But I will say this, you will not see that with a rookie. You will not see that with a guy not under contract because they can be moved. You know, the fact is, Rowdy got chances. Why you say what you did is most guys don't get chances. I always use Mitch Keller as the best example. What happened? He got opportunity. He failed. He got opportunity. He failed. He got opportunity. If he came in this year and did the same thing, Mitch Keller doesn't exist.
Think about it.
Like that's the thing. You got to bet on these guys. Like everybody talks about Brian Reynolds, how well he's hitting. It was inevitable. This guy is under contract. He works his tail off. You bet on that human being. It was an easy bet, right? That's the thing. And when you bet on the right guys and you sign them, even if they get hurt, whatever, they are going to be a part of this organization. They're going to pour into this organization. They are going to do everything they can because every human being, when they get a paycheck, maybe they don't think they deserve if they're hurt or if they're not playing well, they want to justify it in their mind, right? And vice versa, it also takes a lot of pressure off of you if you know you're going to be there for more than a week. You know, if you're signed here for 2 years, it's a huge deal because you're like, if they trade me, wherever I go, I know at least I'll probably have 2 years there. So it's a human element thing for me more than anything. You know, Bednar is a good example this year too. Also under contract. You just can't throw $4.5 million away because he had a bad month. And that's a consequence the Pirates can't take. Rowdy Tellez, 3.8, I believe. You can't just throw that away and say, oh, yeah, we're going to go find an upgrade because someone's hitting better at AAA. And Rowdy's hit 35 homers in the big leagues. You just hope maybe he has a 15-homer month or 12-homer month like he has before. So, yeah, I think it's incredible. I think it's good for the team, the morale of the team, good for the city. It's fun because it's Rowdy. He's got that little gut celebration that he does with the – finger guns. So yeah, it's good for everybody, and I think it's a reminder that these people are human, and if you pick the right guy like him, it may just turn some things around.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us and jumping in, and as doing it as always, great stuff, and enjoy the rest of your week, sir.
All right, thank you so much. You too. And hey, your vacation's coming. Vacation's coming. You just keep working hard.
I sure hope, man. Thank you so much.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back. What's Cooking brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep, Dodge, Route 9, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Also, it's Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet, up to 75%. I'm sorry, $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com, high of 91. Today with cloudy skies, city limits, we've got a few minutes for texts in the city, so let's go.
All right, Paul. George in Plum was referring to Doc in Claysville wanting Alika Williams to come up and start. And he also now hates Dan Zangrilli from his recent comment that we played, well, we've been playing the last couple of weeks. So the question is, by George and Plum, the texter, what is going on with your buddy Doc in Claysville?
Well, I mean, again, Alika Williams, I am not sure. I think Doc might be the first person I've ever heard that wants Alika Williams back on the team. As far as the Zangrilli thing, it's very bizarre because, like I said, Dan Zangrilli has said basically that, you know, he thought that there was no issue with Doc. So I give the text, I don't know, a 5 or a 6, but as far as what's going on with Doc in Claysville, I don't know, maybe he's just becoming... what do they say? A crotchety old man.
Well, yeah, and hold on. Give me 1 second as I can pull up what he said. But another text that's also coming in is Charles is a McAdoo in Altoona. There's a outfielder that's hitting really well and is hitting, I think he has 20-plus home runs in the season so far. Is there a consideration, at least, would you even consider doing like a Jack Suwinski move and bringing up like a Charles McAdoo who's hitting so well in the minor leagues to try to jolt this offense?
Well, I mean, again, when you bring a guy like that up, there's always this question. Who are you going to take out of the lineup? And I know there's a few guys that we can talk about that, you know, okay, well, this guy or that guy, but where are you going to play him?
Dirtbag Dan is what I call him.
Dirtbag Dan. Where are you going to play him? I guess in right? Is that where the discussion would be to play him? He's only 22 years old. He's young. I don't know that I would do that this year. You know, he's been in Bradenton. I'm looking at where he's at right now. It looks like he's barely, I mean, he's played a little bit in Altoona, but for the most part, he's been lower than double A. I don't know that you bring a guy like that this year. I don't know that would help you this year.
Paul, back tomorrow?
I'm in tomorrow. Are you?
I will see you then.
Okay, sounds good. We'll do it again tomorrow. It's Paul Zeiss, 93.7 The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.